feet together, lift our voices. We're going to celebrate the Lord this morning.
They were like prisons that we couldn't escape. But he came and he died and he rose. Those walls are up now. Remember those giants we call death and the grave. They were like mountains that stood in our way. But he came.
This is our God.
This is our God. This is who He is. He loves us. This is our God. This is what He does. He saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim. This is our God, King Jesus.
It's good to see you. I've got a couple of quick announcements as we get the year started. 2025 at Perry Hall takes off fast, so get ready. Hold on to something or someone you love, because we're going to go quick. The pastor's class is starting back up on Wednesday nights here in this room, starting back up this Wednesday, 6:45, 8 to 8 p.m. for adults here or also available on Zoom. But let's be honest, we'd really all rather be here together. I want to call it Pillar of Fire. Talk to Pastor Dave. Let's see if we can get that done. The next announcement is near and dear to my heart because it involves food. Praise the Lord. We have our chili cook-off coming up February 2nd. You want to be a part of this in some way, not just the eating way. You want to bring some chili or something. Contact Tracy, or actually, you can email or connect at Perry Hall Church online. So sign up, bring a side or a dessert so I can eat it. I mean, so that everybody else can eat it and we can fellowship. So chili cook-off, let's do that together. And lastly, this is also near and dear to my heart, students, our kind of schedule of trips is starting up with the first one, which is really, really fun. Winter Meltdown, February 21st through the 23rd at River Valley Ranch. It is a great time. If you're in 6th through 12th grade, paintball and archery tag and this really crazy game with some embarrassing footage of me called Bubble Ball. And then it's just a blast. And we also, of course, hear the gospel and spend some time just sitting under God's word together. So if you want, just go ahead and register online again, perryhallchurch.com. You can go to events and you can sign up for all the crazy things you're hearing. If you're not getting the newsletter, email Lori so that you get the newsletter, or else you're going to miss a lot of the stuff that's going on. Cool?
Cool.
All right, let's continue to lift our voices and worship together this morning. We're just going to exalt God this morning, and we're going to see him as just all that we need, as our Savior, as our fortress, as our rescuer. So let's remind ourselves of that truth this morning. Let's lift our voices together.
Almighty fortress is our God, of the world never failing. Our help and he abyss of blood, of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe does seek to work us well. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel
forever. We learned a new one last week. Let's try it out this week.
The work is finished. All
That tune is one that when we first got it, I wasn't totally sold. But as I was singing it more and more, it kind of kept punching me in the face over and over and over again. And I hope that as you listen to it over and over and over again, it kind of does the same thing. Just this reminder that we have Christ, that we have life. First John says, he who has the Son has life. So this morning, I just want to encourage you, if you've had a week like mine, it's a week that is draining and tough and difficult, and I just want to remind you this morning that if you have the Son, you have life. And then I want to encourage you, if you don't have the Son this morning, if you're not a Christian, if you're not trusting in Jesus Christ for salvation, that this morning you can have life in Him. That's the promise. That's the promise of the gospel. And so, at the end of the day, that is all we need. Is to have the Son, is to have life. And then kind of all the other blessings of life are extra bonuses. Praise the Lord. Man, if we have Jesus, we have everything. So I just want to encourage you with that truth. Let me pray for us really quick. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for this morning. We thank you for these reminders and truths about who you are. Lord, help us to embrace those this morning and to walk in light of them. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Love you guys.
The passage for this morning, and if you would like to follow along, I am reading from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 to 32, and also Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Al. Good morning, Perry Hall. If you're new, is that me? I mean, no, it's me. Is there anything we can do about it? Okay. If you're new, I'm Pastor Dave. Hope I get a chance to meet you. Seems like there may be still a little echo. We'll get through that. I learned a lot about this congregation this week, and it was in a way that I wish I had not learned it. We had somebody take a lot of our data, not sensitive data, but data nonetheless, and they started a really cool campaign to you all. So here's what we learned. That this church is very gracious from you. Let me back up. Many of you, if not all of you who don't even know it, received emails this week that you thought were from me or Pastor Chris or one of our staff members. We didn't send any of those emails, but many of you got them. And so from that, phishing emails and all this nonsense that's getting worse and worse, as you all know, they sent emails, and let's just say from me, some of them, and they would say things like, hey, can we get together? Can we? And many of you said yes, which I really appreciated. So you responded well. Many of them said, will you call me the first chance you get? And many of you called. This is incredible congregation, a church family. This gets even better, though, because of your generosity. Many of you got an email that said I needed gift cards. And while that's true, I didn't send the email. Some of the emails said I want $500 gift cards, and I want four of them. Not one, not two, not $100, $500 gift cards. This is how good we are. And many of you said, okay. One person, we won't say who these people are. Half of you fell for this. It's okay. One dear sister said, sure, Pastor, how many do you need? These are $500 gift cards. Another dear family, I'm not going to point them out over here. Pastor, $2,000, that's a lot. Are you sure you need $2,000 worth of Apple gift cards? So we have a wonderful church family, don't we? But here's where you were even nicer. None of these emails were written in proper English. Wasn't that like a hint that they weren't from me? I don't send a lot of PSs. Anyway, let's set it straight. Please pay attention to the email that says it's from Pastor Dave, because none of them said my email address was correct. So let's just be careful. If you think it came from Pastor Dave, and usually we write through the church office email, but if it looks like it's from me, check and see if it's really my email or Chris's email. That would be helpful. If we're not asking for gift cards, we will call you to get the Apple gift cards. if I want to get together with you, I'll ask you, I'll call you, I might text you. And even that, by the way, can be taken now. People can get texts. So please just be extremely careful. But no matter what, do not send us any money that we ask for in an email. But I love those that said, absolutely, the gift cards are on their way. We were able to catch them, and either they called or we called. It's slow down. Isn't it something that we have to deal with this, but it's just part of where we live. So thank you for being gracious and responding so well. The funny thing is, probably many of you got these kind of emails and don't even know it. And we know that because you don't read your church newsletter or anything else we send. So most of you don't have any idea what we're talking about. And that means that none of you, probably very few of you, opened the email that literally came from us telling you this was a scam. So this is the first you're hearing about it. So good job on paying attention to the church communications. Anyway, let's move on. Open your Bibles back up to where Brother Al was. Ephesians. Some of you are excited. Some of you are thinking, I thought we were done. We're hardly done. We're in chapter 5. We are two-thirds through, but we have two chapters left, and it is going to be absolutely wonderful, folks. So let me just read two verses. I had Al read all the verses from 25 to the end of chapter 4 because that helps you see what was the last things we talked about before Christmas. But I'm going to just read chapter 5, verse 1 for now, and then we'll pray. Chapter 5 of Ephesians, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Your translations are a little bit different. Some of them say, therefore, be followers of God. And that's fine. That's an okay translation, just as we've learned more and more about the words. And as we've learned more and more about the original languages, this is better as imitators. As beloved children, or dear children, this will be the transition for us and kick us off in our new season in Ephesians. Let's pray. Our Father, what a joy it is to be together today. What a joy it is to be back in this particular book that focuses on Christ in us, focuses on his love for his church, on his beautiful gospel, what has been done for his children, and what has been the saving work of Christ. Father, this book is central to understanding what you have done for us, who we are, what it means to have a relationship in Christ, you and us and you. But it's also critical, Lord, because of the focus on how you would want your church to live. Father, we see in this book of Ephesians who we are and how we're to live, what doctrines you've taught us, what doctrines are true, and the subsequent overflowing duty of your children coming out of who we are. Father, we see the beliefs that we have followed by the behavior that you call us to. This is who we are. This is how we live. Oh, Father, this could not be more practical, more relevant to each and every person sitting in this room. And so my prayer today is that you would take your word, both in the sum of the letter, but also in the details of this verse. Speak to us today. You are the author of Scripture. You are the interpreter of Scripture. Father, teach us, change us, lift our eyes up to you. Be glorified, and Father, make us more like Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. So as we kick off this season in Ephesians 5, I want to see if you guys can help me and see if you can figure this out. I'm going to give you a few Bible verses. We're not going to read them. You're not going to turn there. I'm just going to give you some Bible verses. I just want you to listen, and then we'll see if one lucky customer can tell me what all the Bible verses mean. So don't write them down. Focus your attention here. Don't try to read them. Here we go. What do these verses all have in common? Genesis 1, 26 to 28. Genesis 5, 1. Genesis 9, 6. Genesis 8, 21. Leviticus. Leviticus 1, 3, 7, 9, 13, 2, 2, 2, 9, 2, 13. Leviticus 11, 44 to 45. Leviticus 18, 30. Leviticus 19, 2. Leviticus 20, verse 7. Leviticus 21, 6 through 8. How we doing? You got them all now, right? You know exactly where we are? Matthew 3, 17, 6, 9, 5, 43 to 48. Luke 6, 36. John 13, 34 and 35. John 15, 15 to 18. John 17, 23. Colossians 3, 10. Romans 5, 8. Ephesians 1, 5, 2, 19, 3, 14, and 15, 4, 24, 4, 6, 5, 2, 1 Thessalonians 1, 6, 2 Thessalonians 3, 7, and 9, 1 John 3, 18, 4, 7 to 21. There it was. What do they all have in common? It all speaks. Somebody got it right. They'll win a prize. Every one of those verses speaks to Ephesians 5:1 and many others. Every one of those verses I just gave you. Now, the reason I give them to you like that is because I only have time for really one verse. But I want you to see this beautiful way in which the scripture as a whole speaks to this idea that you and I were made in the image of God. Chris, I think so often when you and I speak to young people, when we speak to at the school play and at the concerts, what is one of the themes we want people to see when we have all these kids all up here, these talented, gifted kids? What do we say? These are image bearers. Image bearers. So, we're not going to look at all those verses. We're going to look at a few of them. But I want you to see this overwhelming sense that God is saying something when we read Ephesians 5:1. And maybe I'm justifying why we're not going any farther, because that's how important it is. Now let's go. I think it should be easy to find to the beginning. Genesis 1. Right in the beginning of your Bibles. By the way, I would like to look at all of them, but we just can't today. It's not the setting. Genesis 1. Now, folks, please do your best. If you feel like I move a little bit too fast, just jot the verse down and look it up later. But right now, we're looking at 1, first chapter of Genesis, verse 26. Make sure. 26. Then God said, Genesis 1, 26, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God, in verse 27, created man and woman. That's the understanding of man there. In his own image, in the image of God, he created them. And look, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. This is referred to in theological circles as the cultural mandate that man and woman made in God's image is created as an image bearer to bring glory to God. You were created to bring glory to God, and in the fall of Adam and Eve and in the subsequent sin disease of all of us, the image has been marred, but it is still there. And more than that, that image is in every human being, whether they are a follower of Jesus Christ or they are an atheist or an agnostic or they subscribe to some other religious perspective. They are all image bearers made in the image of God. That's the starting point of the Bible. And as we're going to see in just a minute, we're going to see that this call, there is a vocation of every believer in Jesus Christ. Listen, a vocation, a calling to be in an image bearer. Now that has an awful lot of ramifications, doesn't it? Now just follow just a little bit, a couple of the verses I mentioned, just a few pages over, chapter 5, verse 1. Chapter 5 and verse 1, this book of the generations of Adam, Genesis 5, 1. I hope I didn't make you go all the way to Ephesians 5, 1. Genesis 5, 1, this book of the generations of Adam, when God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Made him in the likeness of God. We are like him. In ways maybe that we recognize and maybe ways that we don't recognize this ability to think, this rationality, this the way we relate, that only human beings are made like him. And when you think of being made like him, it may be a little overwhelming, but you start to ask yourself, what is he like? So Paul, before we go there, we're not going there yet, but Paul is telling us this vocation that we're made in God's image, and the message, so you outliners, the message, the motive, and the model. That's the passage today of Ephesians 5:1, the message, the motive, and the model. The message of Paul is because of what God has done through Christ in forgiving us, in redeeming us, in paying the price for our sins, in atoning for our sins and making propitiation or sacrifice or satisfaction for our sin and reconciling us to ourselves. All the gospel, Ephesians 1 through 3, it changes our lives and we become different people, new hearts, new people. So Ephesians 4 to 6 is all about what does it look like now that we've been changed, we've been transformed. But in this opening chapters of Genesis, we're looking at the question, what does it mean to imitate God? Now, Ephesians 5:1, as far as I can tell, is the only passage in the Bible, and somebody will call me up and later, maybe they found another one later, but I think it's the only place it directly says imitate God. So the message of 5:1 is basically, and it starts off with the word therefore, and I think that really applies to verse 32 of chapter 4. It certainly applies to the lesson of Ephesians 4:25 to 32 at the end of chapter 4, that we are no longer the old people we once were. Remember that? We took off the old clothes, we put on new clothes, we become new, we are no longer old, and therefore we now become imitators of God. So if we're made in his image and we're called to be like him and we're called to imitate our heavenly Father, we start to wonder, what does that mean? So what does it mean to imitate God? Now flip over from this place in 5:1 of Genesis to chapter 9 of Genesis. Chapter 9. I know that for some of you, switching pages is not easy. There's good reasons why Pastor Chris and I ask you to look at multiple passages. We try to move slowly enough, but there is a reason we're doing this now. Verse 6 of chapter 9. Whoever, and here it's tied, this image bearer, to taking the life of somebody else. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. Now look at where that's grounded. What's the rest of the verse? For God made man in his own image. We are image bearers. Leviticus. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Now this is going to be good for you because you've all skipped this last year in your read through the Bible. So it's going to be good that we're in Leviticus for just a minute. Leviticus chapter 11. Leviticus 11. So real quick, since I'm going to read some verses from Leviticus, can I help us out here a little bit? Leviticus 1 through 5 chapters. You're turning to chapter 11, verses 44 and 45. Leviticus chapters 1 through 5, burnt offerings, grain offerings, peace offerings, sin offerings, trespass offerings, offerings, all pointing to Christ. Chapter 6 through 10, all about the priesthood. Chapter 6 through 10, priest and priesthood. Chapter 11 through 15, uncleanliness, spiritually, physically, and cleanliness. Laws pertaining to being clean, all pointing to Christ. Chapter 16, the central part of Leviticus, the Day of Atonement. And in all of this, we see Christ, who is our propitiation. He is the one that brings peace. The grain offering points to the devotion of Christ. The guilt speaks to to repentance. The sin offerings to his substitutionary sacrificial death. The burnt offerings speaking to his atoning work. Chapter 17 to the end of Leviticus speaks to holiness. But we're in chapter 11, so that's the picture. It's worth reading. Don't skip it. Christ flies off of every page of the book of Leviticus. But here we are in 11:44. For I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourself therefore and be holy, for I am holy. You shall not defile yourself with any swarming thing that crawls on the ground. And again in verse 45, for I am the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God, and you shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Here's his theme: men and women made in the image of God, called as a vocation, a calling to be image bearers and to imitate him. So here we start off with, what's the imitation? Holiness. Look over chapter 18 of Leviticus, 18:30. Leviticus 18:30, so keep my charge never to practice any of these abominable customs that were practiced before you, never to make yourselves unclean by them. And what does he say at the end? I am the Lord your God. Chapter 19, keep going down. 19, verse 2. Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy. Why? For I, the Lord your God, am holy. Implied clearly, you are to be holy because your Father is holy. Your Maker is holy. He doesn't stop there. He grounds all of the practical instruction on living holy lives on this phrase, I am the Lord God. Look at verse 10. And you shall not strip your vineyard bare. He goes on to say that. And then he said, you shall leave them for the poor and for the short sojourner. So taking care of the poor and the stranger is grounded in what? Look at the end of verse 10. I am the Lord your God. Verse 11, you shall not steal or deal falsely or lie to one another. You shall not bear a swear by my name falsely and so profane the name of the Lord your God. What's he say? I am the Lord. Verse 13, you shall not oppress your neighbor or rob him. The wages of a hired worker shall not remain with you all night until the morning. You shall not curse the deaf or put stumbling blocks before the blind. And why? I am the Lord your God. Verse 15, you shall not do injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great, but in righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. Look at the verse of end of verse 16. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother, verse 17, in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. Look at the end of the line. You shall love your neighbors yourself. Why? I am the Lord. The entire Bible is speaking about who he is, what he is like, what is his character, what is his attributes. And then in this beautiful picture in Paul's letter to a very pagan city, to a church in Ephesus, very clear to us, imitate me. Imitate me. Now this goes on, folks, and I'll hurry on. The message is clear that God wants us to be like him. How many of you remember, not all of you, a Gatorade commercial, 1991, that eliminated half of us, 1991 Gatorade commercial about Michael Jordan? What was the theme? Be like Mike. That was the 1991, he got paid $13.5 million. It came, they had a song that came from Disney's Jungle Book, I Want to Be Like. Disney wanted more money than they were willing to pay for, so they wrote their own song, and it became a hit sensation. It actually didn't make much money for Gatorade, but it became one of the most popular sports commercials of all time. Be like Mike. What did it mean? Be 6'6", or whatever he was, and be a superstar, sure. Maybe it was so that kids could follow Michael Jordan as a role model and his success and to be like him, and it worked. They started buying all his shoes, and you know all that, how that went, and helped Nike and Michael Jordan as well, and it was all about be like Mike. Well, this passage in 5:1 of Ephesians, if we want to narrow it down or maybe simplify it, here's the message. Be like God. Now don't run amok with this. There are attributes of God that are incommunicable. That means they belong to him and to him alone. But in his image-bearing divine work in us, he's made us like him. And we can be holy in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 48. Verse 48 says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Whew. Luke 6:36 says, be merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful. Do you see how the message is very clear here? Coming out of be kind, be tenderhearted, forgiving, and then it comes into this. Remember, guys, real quick, the indicatives of Ephesians, indicative simply means the statements of truth, are always connected to the imperatives, commands. So when an indicative, a statement of truth, is followed by a command, and in this case, therefore, we're not there yet, but in Ephesians 5:1, therefore, be imitators of God, is based on what he has done for us and who he is. So let's just stop there. If we wanted to go on, we're to be like him in how we love and how we give. Because he's a giving father, a loving father, a holy father, a merciful father. So the message from Paul to kick off Ephesians 5 is be like your heavenly Father. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, back there. Chapter 5, Ephesians 1, therefore, because of what's just been said, because you are new, because the old has been put off, the new clothes have been on, get rid of the grave clothes, to quote Warren Wiersbe. Put on the new clothes, you're a new person. You didn't become a new person because of what you did, but because of what has been done for you in Christ, you are a new person, and it's changed our lives. Be imitators of God. Now let's just spend just a minute with this idea of imitation. How many of you would be honest and say you have in some ways imitated your parents? And that's a good thing, right? You see your parents in you. Now, newsflash, we did not have perfect parents. We do not have perfect parents. Kids, you do not. And some, it was just plain bad. Even that, though, is to point us to our Heavenly Father who is perfect. But let me ask that again. What would you think? What did you imitate from your parents? Mine, clearly, from my dad especially. I like to think I got some of my good qualities from both of my parents. For my dad, both good and bad. And not only in resemblance, people would know I was John Moyer's son, but and even I'd go out in public and didn't even know anybody, and they'd go, "You're John's son." There was a resemblance. But his sense of humor, his competitiveness, this is a good one, it's his temper. And boy, did I get that good. Boy, did I imitate that at times. So you all can have some understanding of imitating our parents. How are your kids imitating you now? That's a little scarier, I think. How do their kids? So here in the Moyer house, I can't speak for each one of you, only the Moyers, and you know I'm very transparent. Sarcasm, sense of humor, a great affinity for finer foods like pizza and subs. Chris and Suzanne, I don't know if you know this, but one of the things that Jamie got from her parents and mimicked their parents is that stocking on Christmas morning has to be overflowing. It's no other way. So your son had to make sure that, and that's, her parents did it that way. Here's a really good one. We have two boys and four girls. All four girls are either currently mimicking or want to mimic their mom to be a stay-at-home mom. Now, some of you say, that's not for me, and that's another discussion. Don't worry, we're going to get to Ephesians 5, 21 and following. That's coming. Get ready for that. Do your study so you can try to disagree with me. But for right now, can we at least say, if my girls want to be like their mom and stay home, is that not okay? That's a good thing, and it's almost impossible today. So, but why? Because they imitate mom. And they want to be just like mom. And praise God, in all of our kids, in their different seasons of life, there is a desire to run after the Lord. Praise God for that. And there's lots of hiccups along that journey. So here's the word. Therefore, be, meaning in the Greek, continue being, becoming, imitators of God. Be like God, imitators, Greek word, mimetes, which is what we get in English, mimic. God wants us to mimic him. That's the message. So much more to say. I gave you a whole bunch of verses earlier, 1 Thessalonians 1:6. Paul tells people to imitate me, Paul says, as I imitate Jesus. So this idea of imitate is not just here. Paul uses it over and over. 1 Corinthians 4:16, 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. In other words, that's not arrogance. Wherever Paul faithfully follows Christ, imitate that. He says that in 1 Thessalonians 1:6, 2 Thessalonians 3:7-9. In Hebrews 6:12, the writer of Hebrews says, imitate those who go before and are leaders and are godly, imitate their way of life. In Hebrews 13:7, speaking of the elders, the writer of Hebrews says, imitate the elders as they are godly, not their sin, as they are godly. This is a key phrase in Paul's writing, this idea of imitation. Here, we are to be mimickers of God, to be like him, and I've discussed all those things. That's the message from Paul. But there is a motive. It's not simply go around just do. There's a motive behind this imitation of God, and the motive is in the verse before. Look at the end of verse 32. After it says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Now look at the as God in Christ forgave you. So here is the motivation behind what undergirds this idea of mimicking God, following him. It's not only all the commands of Scripture, but it is a gospel focus. In other words, we live as imitators of God, and ultimately we're going to see following Christ as well in his life. We do that because of an overflow of the grace that has been given to us. The motive behind our desires to live a godly life, our desires to be godly, be like God, is because it's an overflow of the heart of what has been done in our lives through Christ. His saving, redeeming, restoring, sanctifying work on our behalf. See, the gospel is what he did for us and the benefits that are accrued towards us. And so this is what I believe the therefore is actually speaking about. The gospel, therefore, be imitators of God. Let me say it another way. The motive for all of our living, folks, is not to simply build up crowns in heaven. It's not simply to be able to check something. It's not simply, and more painfully or more inaccurately, to make God love us. Imitating God is the response of somebody he already loves, and we love him. It becomes the natural pattern of our lives, even as we battle remaining sin. One last thing there in this incredible motive to the message of be like God, to the motive for what God has done for us. Now look at the way Paul describes us. Back to verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God. That's the message. The therefore speaks to, I believe, the life change in all into verse 32 and really the whole book of Ephesians. But now look, as beloved children. Now, I think beloved's a good word here. I think some of your Bibles may even say as dear children. But a really good way to think of this that some commentators believe make it more personal as loved children. Now here, get ready. This is going to blow your socks off. Who else does God call beloved? His own son. Matthew 3:17. This is my beloved son. In chapter 1 of Ephesians, it actually calls Jesus by title or by affection, the beloved. Now, if that doesn't blow your mind, that the same terms are used for you and me. Listen, folks, I could come out and shake each one of you and say, you're his loved child. You're his love child. And John 17:23, in the great high priestly prayer, Jesus said that those that I came for, that they may know as you have loved me, with that same love, you love them. What could be more grand and beautiful? What chapter 2 calls the great love, the only place Paul uses that term, great love God has for us, that our heavenly Father loves us like he loves his Son. That one thought will change your world. So we have the message, be like God, imitate him. The motive, because of the gospel, what he has done for us. And because of his love for us, it overflows into a life of generosity. I remember the Indian missionary to India. Many of you may know her name, Amy Carmichael. Does anybody know that name, Amy Carmichael? Amy was a missionary to India. She ended up helping young ladies especially, but kids that were trafficked and prostitution and all those things going on. She ended up having a safe refuge for over 1,000 kids. It was said of Amy Carmichael by Sherwood Eddy, famous man in that time. He said she was the greatest picture of living like her father and the greatest aroma I've ever seen in my life. Fragrance. We'll get to that in 1 second. Amy Carmichael said this, because I don't want us to miss the connection of the motive before we get to the model of the love of God and the connection to what he has done. Amy Carmichael said this, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. That's because we see this motivation. If we're truly in love with him and his affections, we're going to love others, John 13:34-35. And then automatically out of that love is giving. Last point for today. Not only are they imitators of God as beloved children, verse 2. The message, be like God. The motive, the gospel, and his love for us. The model, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The message, be like God, imitate him. The motive, the gospel, the work of Christ. The love of the Father for us. The model of what it looks like is the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. Now, what is beautiful about this particular passage, you know that we have broken up in our sermon series chapter 4, 5, and 6 of Ephesians under the title, The Worthy Walk. That word walk speaks to our lifestyle, our conduct, our behavior. It shows up in chapter 1, don't walk like you used to walk. In chapter 2:10, it says, you've been saved by grace through faith, verses 8 and 9. And that we're supposed to live, walk in good works. In chapter 4, it says that we would walk in a manner worthy of the calling. In other words, our walk would look like who we are. We would resemble the people we are. People would see us. In verse 17, it says, don't walk like you used to. That's 4 walks so far. But in chapter 5, where we're getting ready to go in coming weeks, there is 3 more aspects to this walk. Number 1 in verse 2 is walk in love. In verse 8, it's going to be walk in light, as children of light. And verse 15, it's going to be walk in wisdom. This walk, this worthy walk. And now we're starting to see that Paul is using the model of Jesus Christ, the message, be like God, the motive of the gospel and his love for us. And the model is Jesus himself. Now, folks, please listen. Jesus is the ultimate perfect model of imitating God, period. But he is not simply a model. Today in the church, in different parts of Christianity, Jesus has been reduced to a simple model for us to follow. He is not merely a model. He is a model, but he is the living God. He is our king, our priest, and he is the prophet who teaches us about his Father. But he is more than a model. He is the Savior that died for us on a cross. He is the Savior that rose again, conquering the enemy and our sin and vindicating the Lord, the Father. And the Father was satisfied in that sacrifice. That's more than a model. But don't miss, Jesus is a model for how we live. Because why? He loved the Father. He came on his own accord. He gave up his life, John 15. On his own accord, he submitted to his Father. He gave everything in his life. And now look at the passage. It makes it simple in a summary way. So as we walk in love, we walk as Christ loved. I love the quote I heard years ago that we as believers are to live like Christ, to love like Christ, and to leave behind what Christ left behind. Let me say that again. That we are called to live like Christ, to love like Christ, and to leave behind what Christ left behind. And so the first two are simple. You go, I get it. What's the third one? Leave behind. What did he leave behind? Disciples. You and me are called to live and love like him and leave behind disciples. That's his life. Look at what it says about it. He gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Now, I believe the Bibles we're looking at are, as this translation is one of the best translations. There's lots of good translations today. I think they are all being faithful, but this one's just got one word that I think might be a little bit confusing. It says here, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, I am pretty sure up is not there. And the reason it's there, because it speaks to Christ on the cross, which I believe with all my heart, it includes. But here's my point. When we say that Christ gave himself up for us, ultimately, yes, that is the cross. But he also gave his whole life because he lived as the perfect sacrifice, the one that who was absolutely perfect. So it's his entire life, including the cross, that is pointed to. Last thought here, guys. Not only did Paul make it clear that our message from here is to be like God, imitate him, that the motive is to live out of the gospel and our love, his love for us as we walk in love. But also here in this final part that we see Christ as the model. Now I want to finish though with the last sentence, because this is so good. The last part of the sentence. He gave himself up as a fragrant offering. Some of your Bibles may even say a sweet-smelling aroma. All that language is beautiful. He was to his Father a sacrificial, fragrant aroma. So I want us to go back one more time, if you'll bear with me. We're almost done. Back to Leviticus chapter 1. Flip. It's too good to skip. Leviticus chapter 1. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus chapter 1. The first chapter of Leviticus is about burnt offerings. Verse 3 of Leviticus 1. Leviticus 1, verse 3. If this offering is a burnt offering from the herd, he shall offer a male without blemish. He shall bring it to the entrance of the tent of meeting. Look, that he may be acceptable or accepted before the Lord. See that accepted. Now, look at verse 9. Aaron's sons, the priests, shall arrange the pieces, the head. This is all about the sacrifices, the offerings. Verse 9, but its entrails and its legs he shall wash with water. And the priest shall burn all of it on the altar as a burnt offering. Listen, a food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Just to show you how that shows up a lot, verse 13 finishes with a food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord. The end of the chapter, the last sentence of chapter 1, it is a burnt offering, a food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Chapter 2, 2, pleasing aroma. Chapter 2, 9, pleasing aroma. Chapter 3, 5, pleasing aroma. Chapter 3:16, pleasing aroma. What does that mean, folks? Acceptable. Acceptable and pleasing to God. Christ's life, this model for us, is a pleasing aroma to God. A holy, Godward, godly, being like God, living under the motivation of his gospel and his love, following the model of Christ. Listen, and our lives are a sweet-smelling, fragrant aroma to God, acceptable. Wouldn't that be a wonderful, isn't that a wonderful thought, that our lives are a sweet-smelling aroma to God? I asked you the question, did you imitate your parents? Do your kids imitate you? The answer is yes, like it or not. Cindy always has to remind me that it's my fault when the kids are overly sarcastic. What do I expect? They've imitated me well. But let me finish with a different question. Do people see in us the image of God? Do people look at us and say, there's somebody that is imitating their Heavenly Father? Would we be characterized as those people who are imitators of God? Would your non-believing friends see in you your Heavenly Father, who is holy and loving and merciful and good? Would they see in you a beautiful glimpse of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Would they see in me a sacrificial life pointing to Christ? Oh, guys, would God do that in our lives? Would we be the most forgiving, loving, gospel spreading, disciple making people in the world? And would we be a sweet, fragrant aroma to God? Let's pray. Our Father, what a beautiful, beautiful place in your word today. And Father, I believe we have been able to demonstrate that this is your heart throughout the pages of Scripture. Father, that we would be not culture imitators, but Christ imitators. Father, that people would see Christ in us. They would know our Heavenly Father, who in heaven is perfect. Would they know our Heavenly Father, who is holy and merciful, because they see these imitators in their lives? Father, the message is clear that we would be like you in the ways you intended for us as image bearers. Father, it would come out of a heart motivated to respond to the gospel and to your love for us, that we are beloved, we are loved, we are dear children. Father, may we live as those you have adopted in many ways. This verse, Father, to be like God, is an application of the first chapter, which says you adopted us into your family and made us your children, and now you call us to be like you. Father, may people see you and your Son in us. Father, in a sense, I want to pray that you would put blinders on them when we act like us. But we want to hear more and more stories of people that say, something's different about that guy. Something's different about that gal. I want to know more. be glorified, be pleased with our sweet aroma, fragrant aroma to you today, Lord, with lives of Christ-likeness, godly, sacrificial, faithful lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Would you stand with us?
Worship team, outstanding words there in that song. Thank you. I'm sometimes critical of both old hymns in the sense of their words sometimes and modern songs because they put nonsense in some of them. And by the way, I'm a lover of hymns, as many as you are. Some of them have poor theology too. That's because they're written by people. And some of you think there's more problems with the newer songs. I'm telling you, there's a few lines there. He is the blessing. Not that he simply blesses us. He is the blessing. Think of that. To seek him is to find him. To know him is to want him. To see him is to love him. I can't believe I get to do that. Because we want nothing more than him. Oh my goodness. Is that a fitting end to what Paul just taught us? Oh, Lord, be glorified. May we live as people that want nothing more than him. Father, may you be gracious to us today. We want to be like you. Thank you for what you did for us through your son's saving work on the cross. Father, may we live out of the overflow of your love. May we look like Jesus. May we live, love, and leave behind what Jesus left behind. And may we want nothing more than you. Father, that is impossible. But with you, it is possible. Do that in our lives, Father. Make that the dream and the goal and the throbbing part of our heart for that. That you would be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Just a reminder, this coming Saturday, we will celebrate the life of Rita Boyle. This coming Saturday, that'll be the 18th, if you can join us. Okay, have a great week.